The Lord Jesus has done so many wonderful things for us, but have you considered that there are things the Lord will not do? Hello, I'm Phil Sanders, and this is a Bible study in search of the Lord's way. And today we're exploring things Jesus will not do.
In all the hurry and hustle and confusion of modern living, the Lord has the way. We believe that the Bible is the revelation of His way. We invite you to join us in search of the Lord's way with Phil Sanders.
Welcome to In Search of the Lord's Way. We're here to search the Scriptures for God's will. Let's give thanks that we have the picture of true virtue in Scripture. The Lord Jesus Christ teaches us with love and wisdom. He warns us of the dangers of sin and deception, and He gives us the truth to measure everything that we see and hear. God's Word never changes, never lies, and never misleads. We can trust the Scripture about every aspect of our lives. We'd love to hear from you, and we want to be a part of your life each week. The Lord Jesus Christ is the perfect example to follow. He was a person of conviction, great strength, great love, and integrity. While we often concentrate on the things Jesus did and ask, what would Jesus do? We should also ask, what would Jesus not do? The Lord Jesus was devoted to His Father's will and would not give into the devil's temptations or the pressures of the Pharisees. He stood for truth and righteousness. He didn't allow the hypocrisy of the Pharisees or the corruption of the chief priests to keep Him from doing His Father's will. Nor did He give in to the false prophets of His day. Many people have been searching for the true Christianity and have been disappointed by the showy mega churches, the churches that demand nothing, and the churches filled with human traditions. Now, if you're looking for true Christianity, you can find it in the Scriptures. This is the truth at its purest. Don't be fooled by religious groups that have collected centuries of human doctrines and practices. Don't be fooled by religious people who twist Scripture to proclaim false prophecies. And don't be fooled by 16th century doctrines that say you're so depraved that you can't obey the Lord. Oh, go back to the Word of God. Now, we offer this study, Things Jesus Would Not Do, free. And if you'd like a printed copy and live in the United States, mail your request to In Search of the Lord's Way, Post Office Box 371, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. Or send an email to searchtv@searchtv.org. Or you can call our toll-free telephone number. That number is 1-800-321-8633. We also have programs and free materials on our website at searchtv.org. You can also see us on YouTube. We'll now worship in song, read from 1 Peter chapter 2, 21 to 25, and examine the things that our Lord Jesus would not do. Our reading today comes from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 to 24, and they discuss how Jesus dealt with very difficult circumstances. "For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in His steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in His mouth. And while being reviled, He did not revile in return. While suffering, He uttered no threats, but kept entrusting Himself to Him who judges righteously. And He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by His wounds you were healed, for you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the Shepherd and Guardian of your souls." That's a reading from God's holy Word. Let's pray together. Father, we're thankful that Jesus was willing to bear our sins in His body. And Father, we're thankful that He would not be mean to those who were mean to Him. Father, help us to do kind things to others, to love others, and to be forgiving. In Jesus' name, amen. Studying the life of Jesus Christ in the four gospel accounts will help you not only to have a true picture of Jesus, but also understand the Father in heaven. We need to hear His teaching and follow His example. He is Lord and Savior, and He alone has the words of eternal life. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John revealed to us the things that Jesus did and taught. Though He only lived to be 33 years old, His life was full of wisdom, love, compassion, and truth. He is the way, the life, and the truth and the life. John 20, verses 30 to 31 says, "Therefore many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name." The Scriptures are sufficient to tell us the truth. What are the things that Jesus would never do? Well, first, Jesus loved His Father and came to this earth to do His Father's will. He never refused to do the Father's will. Jesus said to His disciples in John 4, 34, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to accomplish His work." Jesus gave Himself entirely to what His Father wanted. He said in John 5 and verse 30, "I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of Him who sent me." On the night that He was betrayed by Judas Iscariot, He told His disciples in John 14, 33, "But so that the world may know that I love the Father, I do exactly as the Father commanded me. Get up and let's go from here." Now at Gethsemane, Jesus' soul was deeply grieved. The Lord said to Peter, James, and John in Matthew 26, 38 to 39, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me." And He went a little beyond them and fell on His face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as You will." He would rather suffer and die to fulfill the Father's will so that His blood could be shed for our sins than to escape any suffering. He'd rather die than for us to not have any sacrifice. When the crowd came to arrest the Lord Jesus and take Him to trial, you remember Peter cut off the ear of Malchus, the slave of the high priest. Well, Jesus healed the slave and said to Peter in Matthew 26:52-54, "Put your sword back into its place, for all those who take up the sword shall perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and He will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? How then will the Scriptures be fulfilled, which say that it must happen this way?" Whatever the cost, Jesus did what was right. Paul urged in Philippians 2:5-8, "Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although He existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but He emptied Himself, taking the form of a bondservant, a slave, and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." Second, because Jesus loved and taught the truth, He could never condone false teaching. The Sermon on the Mount was given to correct the false teaching of the religious leaders in His day, and He contrasted what they had heard from their leaders and what was actually the will of God. He made it clear, "Wise men listen and do His words, while foolish men may hear, but they won't do what He says." Matthew 7:24-27. Now, false teaching is a salvation issue. When people don't obey the Lord, they build their houses on sand, which leads to their destruction. Now, Jesus faced the false teaching of the Pharisees at every turn. He said to the Pharisees in Matthew 15:7-9, "You hypocrites! Well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.'" When people follow men rather than God, their worship is vain and their hearts are not right with God. On another occasion, the Lord said in Matthew 23:23-24, "Woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. But these are the things that you should have done without neglecting the others. You blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel." Many people today face the same fault of accepting whatever they are told by some religious leader while neglecting to study the Bible for themselves. Third, Jesus never abandoned His purpose of saving people. The Lord Jesus said to the Father in John 17:4, "I glorified you on the earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do." The Father sent Jesus into the world to save His people from their sins, and Jesus did just that. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit." Jesus wanted to bring us to the Father and forgive our sins. He wanted to transform our lives so that we might be pleasing in God's sight. Now, Jesus is still working on our behalf. You might ask, well, what is Jesus doing for us today? Well, Hebrews 7:24-25 tells us, "But Jesus, because He continues forever," that is, as a high priest, "holds His priesthood permanently, and therefore He is able also to save forever those who draw near to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them." You see, Jesus is making intercession to the Father for your salvation right now. Sadly, we are as Christians, are sinful at times, wished we didn't sin, but we do. And the Lord Jesus knew that we would do that, and He's still acting on our behalf. 1 John 2:1-2 says, "My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world." The one who sacrificed Himself to atone for our sins is now our intercessor and advocate with the Father, pleading for us. He is pleading for our salvation. You see, He never gave up on us, and we should never, never give up on Him. Fourth, the Lord Jesus never failed to practice what He taught. The Lord Jesus taught in Matthew 5:44-45, "But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For He causes His sun to rise on the evil and the good, and He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous." Now, after Jesus had been scourged, He had to carry His cross to Golgotha. And Luke 23:33-34 says, "When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified Him and the criminals, one on the right and the other on the left. But Jesus was saying," that is, He said it more than once, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." He prayed for the very people who put nails through His hands and feet. His amazing desire was to save even those who crucified Him. Sadly, many people are not like Jesus. They don't live up to their claims. Paul said in Titus 1:15-16, "To the pure all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But both their mind and their conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny Him, being detestable and disobedient and worthless for any good deed." We are all weak people and sometimes violate our own convictions. But Jesus could never compromise or ignore what He taught. No one could point to Him as a hypocrite. Now, a hypocrite is someone who pretends to be what he never intends to be. And we mustn't confuse the person who is weak to temptation and hates his weakness from the person who has no intention of living a righteous life. Many people struggle with sin and repent, but the hypocrite celebrates his wickedness in secret and has no intention to repent. For them, having a pure heart of righteousness never enters their minds. They simply don't care. One day, they will wish they had cared about the Lord and living a righteous life. Fifth, though He was a great teacher, Jesus could never convince everyone to follow Him. It must have broken His heart when people turned away. John 1:11-13 says that He came to His own, and those who were His own didn't receive Him, that is, welcome Him or accept Him. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Some will follow the Lord, but others will refuse. Matthew 13:14-15 explains indeed in their case the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says that you will indeed hear, but you'll never understand, and you'll indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. They were so caught up in their human traditions, they wouldn't listen to the hope and salvation Jesus brings. Now, sometimes people don't like what the Lord teaches today. Oh, this is not new. Some abandoned Him for what He taught years ago. Jesus worked many miracles, healing people, casting out demons, even feeding the crowds. And He did it in the area surrounding Capernaum and Bethsaida. But when Jesus said something that people didn't like, they quit on Jesus. John 6:66-69 tells us, "After this, many of His disciples turned back and no longer walked with Him. So Jesus said to the 12, 'Do you want to go away as well?' And Simon Peter answered Him, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and we've come to know that You are the Holy One of God.'" Sadly, some today have abandoned the only hope of eternal life because they disagreed with what Jesus teaches. When you decide that you're wiser than the Lord, let me ask, Who else can give you eternal life? Who else will die for your sins? Who will bring you to God? Who will advocate for you with the Father? Some say, I don't like organized religion. Do you realize that Jesus built the church and purchased the church with His own blood? Jesus is the Savior of the body, the church. And if you reject the church, you're rejecting the Savior and your salvation. Well, why does it matter? It matters because of the great sacrifice the Lord Jesus made on the cruel cross, and He did it for your sins so He could save you. It matters because your response to the Lord will determine your eternal destiny, either in heaven or not. Whether you follow the Lord is the most important decision you'll ever make. So, my friend, choose wisely. Choose to follow the Lord and be close to Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that You love us and watch over us every day of our lives. We're thankful, Father, for all the good that You have done. Help us, Heavenly Father, to follow Your example and not do evil or to forsake Your will. Father, help us to love others and help us to be kind. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Who are you following? The Lord Jesus won't save you against your will. The Lord Jesus won't save you if you ignore or rebel against Him. The Lord Jesus won't save you on the Day of Judgment if you never come to Him in love and obedience in this life. Hebrews 9:27 says, "It is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment." You have the opportunity now to love and serve the Lord. But there is no second chance after this life is over. If we do love and obey Him to the very end, we can have assurance that our sins are forgiven and we're heirs of eternal life. Once Jesus has made a promise, He will never fail to keep His word. Paul assured us in Corinthians, that is 1 Corinthians 15, 1-2, "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and in which you stand, and by which you're being saved, if you hold fast to the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. You must, my friend, hold fast to your faith and take your stand on the gospel. The gospel refers to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we obey that gospel by placing our faith in Jesus Christ, repenting of our sins, confessing Jesus Christ as the risen Son of God, and by being baptized. Now, in baptism, we die with Christ, we're buried with Christ, and we're raised up with Him to walk in newness of life, Romans 6, verses 3 to 4. Baptism is our new birth, but baptism is only the beginning. We must hold fast to the very end. Now, you may have been baptized years ago, but you've quit the Lord, and maybe you've quit worshiping a church. My friend, you need to repent and change your ways, and today is the best day to get right with God. We hope our study, Things Jesus Will Not Do, has caused you to think. If you live in the United States and want a free printed copy, send your request to In Search of the Lord's Way, Post Office Box 371, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083, or send an email to searchtv@searchtv.org, or you can call the Search office toll free at 1-800-321-8633. There's a schedule of our programs and a map of churches in your area at searchtv.org. Now, Search is on YouTube. Subscribe to our channel, Search TV Ministry, and then like the programs you watch. We also offer free Bible correspondence courses. Now, don't worry, we're not asking for money. We're here to help you draw close to God. We do ask that you show God your love by worshiping at church. You need a church family. And if you can attend, don't neglect worshiping. There's probably a Church of Christ near you. And if you're looking to a healthy, biblical church home, we'll gladly help you find one. Well, we'll be back next week, Lord willing. So keep searching God's Word with us and tell a friend about this program. We want everyone to be able to watch. As always, we say to you, God bless you, and we love you from all of us. And In Search of the Lord's Way.